Well, welcome everyone this morning to Church Outside. We're enjoying this opportunity to be able to worship together from the comfort of your car or the comfort of your lounge chair. And it is so good to see everyone here. And we're going to begin this morning with some music. So sit back, kick your feet up if you want to, and we will get started.
Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Yes, indeed, as we celebrate this morning and as we worship together, we are indeed sanctuaries. Each one of us. For it is through us that many will know of the love of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so today, sitting out here in the outdoors, it's a very authentic type of worship. Now, I kind of wonder how Jesus felt about this as he was, you know, he was going about through Galilee from place to place. And I don't think they had folding chairs back then. And I don't think you could tailgate. But I do think there were ways that people could get comfortable. And the crowds that gathered, very much like today, in the outdoors, hearing the word from our Master, Jesus Christ. And so it's very fitting that we meet outdoors. And as we see everyday life going on, think back for a moment about how those first hearers of the Gospels actually heard it. And maybe it was in settings that was similar to this, technology and other things being different, but meeting outdoors, meeting in God's creation, and sharing the good news. It's so great that we can be here this morning and do that. Today we have a very important lesson and sermon, and it's about practicing brotherly love. In the world in which we live right now, practicing brotherly love is critical. This is something that we can do. This is something that we can do that will make a difference in this world in which we are living right now. Notice the sign as you came in: unconditional love. And encourage persons to practice it. That's a bold message, but it's a message that's very practical, and it's needed today. And so we want to make sure that brotherly love characterizes who we are, the quality of our relationships and in our lives. And so today I've selected a passage from the 51st Psalm where David cries out, "Lord, create in me a clean heart. Help me to get right with you. Work through me." And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll take a look at verses 9 through 12. But in those verses, Paul is reminding us of the importance of brotherly love. That this is who we are. This is our message. So may we be encouraged by those messages. Also, worshiping outside is fun. I get to walk around. You get to relax. You don't have to worry about dropping anything. And by the way, I see, all right, Donna, you brought something to drink. See, that's good. You know, as we do this, I mean, yeah, over here. See, we're good. It's fun. It's a great opportunity to be here and do this. And I have to admit, this is a much better setup than last week. Got a little warm last week, but I didn't get sunburned, so that was good. But I got to thinking about Jonah and the Ninevites and his shade tree that dried up, and so we're kind of under the shade tree today, and it's a little bit overcast, so that's good. But we can worship outside and enjoy. Now, we have a couple of birthdays of persons that we know from the congregation, and want to share that this morning. Many of you know Stephen Oakley and Deanna Thomas. They're both celebrating birthdays this week, in fact, on July 3rd. And so we wish them a happy birthday. Also, on the 4th, it's coming, it's our country's birthday, and we celebrate that. And we'll have a special service next week, and I'm going to give you a heads up on it. We're going to be focusing on Jesus' Declaration of Independence. See, on the 4th of July, we talk about independence. But we also want to realize the roots of the independence that we have that comes from the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and also the promise of his return. So we'll look at Jesus' Declaration of Independence, but also talk about something that's not usually talked about in church. Jesus has told us he's coming again. We just don't know when. But that Declaration of Independence helps us to prepare for whether we physically see it or not. So for next week, be reading ahead to chapter chapter 4, the latter half of chapter 4, as we will focus on that return. So we celebrate the birthdays of persons that we know, the birthday of our country. There are others that you may know of that are celebrating. So let them know that you're thinking about them this week and wish them a happy birthday. There are no anniversaries that I know of, but if you know of persons having an anniversary, please, by all means, wish them a happy anniversary. In terms of the prayer list, I want to bring you some updates. We're so glad that Mike and Lori have been able to interact, and that there's more interaction that is coming daily with Lori. I had written back, he said 80 days, and I had to think about the book that many of you may have read, Around the World in 80 Days, and I really believe many of you feel like you've been around the world in 80 days with this. Sometimes we face those situations where we encounter that. And so we want to continue to uplift Lori and Mike and her parents, Lori's parents. This has been a long journey, and we know that prayer works and that it is very, very powerful. Also want to continue to remember Emily Leeds. Sandra was telling us about her and her current battles with cancer, so continue to lift her up in your prayers, and we know that prayer works. Also, some of you have some Bragtown ties. I want to also lift up Brian Blaylock. Some of you may know the Blaylock family, and he's going through some times, some rough times, and I was made aware, Carol, and I found out from Facebook last night, and so he happened to have been in the youth group when I was there years and years ago, and so lift him and his family up in prayer as well. Richard Vickers also gave me a call last night. Be very much in prayer for Aubrey. He has had a few, he was in the emergency room last night at Duke. He is losing some ground, but he's still a fighter. And I was talking with Richard about that and said that we would be lifting him up for prayer. So please be praying for Aubrey, that everybody knows he's fighting many different battles. Also, Juanita is still carrying on with her fight and her struggle. So please remember both of them in your prayers as well. We continue to lift up Sue Alloway and our family and all that Sue is facing and all that you're having to address right now. We lift you up. And remember, again, Ann Williams and Linda Fogelman and William Small. You know, you don't have to be a large group of people to know a lot of people that are in need. And in need of prayer, and in need of lifting up. And so I know I have not mentioned everybody, but please lift these persons up in prayer, and also those that we haven't spoken about, lift them up as well. And before we proceed, is there anyone else that we need to mention today that we have not? No, she's still in the nursing home as far as I know, yes. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, Ray Ensco. Many of you know Ray Ensco and the Ensco family. So, yes, continue to remember Ray Ensco as well. With that having been said, let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day. And we lift up each person that has been mentioned this morning. We lift them up and we place them on your throne of grace. And we ask for healing. And we ask for mercy. We ask for understanding. And dear Lord, today we also offer a special prayer. Dear Lord, we pray for all persons who do not know you as their Lord and Savior. We pray that their hearts will be softened, that they will be open to receiving the gospel, and we also pray that we as a church will continue to share the good news and that we will be bright rays of light in the midst of a world that is experiencing so many challenges. God, we pray for our nation, that we will put our trust in you and not ourselves. Dear God, strengthen us as your church so that all of us may be your ambassadors your missionaries of brotherly love and of kindness. Help us to love one another unconditionally. Help us to practice brotherly love. Create in us, dear Lord, holy and pure and clean hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
To show no glory on my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry carry us when we can't carry us.
God's strength is perfect. And it always comes at the right time. Now, I didn't know they were going to play that song at this time. I didn't know that was the one you were going to choose, because you didn't even know until yesterday as to what we were going to be doing. But I've been reading a verse of Scripture all week. I stumbled on it Monday, and it's one of those Scriptures that really anchors things for you and allows you to kind of put the world in perspective. And I feel real encouraged by this, what I'm going to get ready to share with you, because it's the foundation for this meditation on brotherly love. I feel good about it because as we were on our way here today, my spiritual authority sitting here had her phone and was telling me that she had this message that she had opened from Franklin Graham. And she started reading. I says, "You know that's 2 Timothy 3:1-4. She says, "Yeah, I thought it sounded familiar." This is something that Franklin Graham had out this morning and makes me feel even more like we're on target. I want to share with you some verses, and as I share this with you, reflect on it in the coming week. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Ask yourself an important question. Are these verses talking about me? Are these verses talking about the world in which I currently live? And they're sobering verses. And they'll remind us of the importance and our mission to practice brotherly kindness. It goes like this. "But know this, hard times will come in the last days." I didn't say that. That's here. Hard times will come in the last days. "For people will be lovers of self." That sound familiar? "Lovers of money." Does that sound familiar? "Boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy." And you know, the list goes on and on. Thought the keys would keep them down, but sometimes the Spirit moves anyway. "Unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." I have to admit, those verses really stopped me in my tracks. And I really can't get them out of my mind. And I don't think the Lord wants me to get them out of my mind. And so I'm sharing them with you in a selfish sort of way to burden you as well, but in a good way. May we be mindful. Brotherly love can go a long way in addressing each one of these things that we just mentioned. They go a long way in helping us address that. And so I want to ask us some questions. Are you and I kind and patient consistently? Do we respect each other and all people? Do we have to be in control of things? Do we have to have our way? And for those of us that are a little more relaxed, whatever. Whatever. Do we realize in all of this that we are children of God? But do we behave like we're children of God? What's in our heart? See, this is what David is wrestling with in the 51st Psalm. What's in our hearts? Is it love, mercy, peace, forgiveness? Or might it be anger and things such as that? May we leave here today with a solid commitment to practice brotherly love, and as we're advertising, unconditional love, and may we encourage others to do likewise. We're at a point where this is very, very critical, because I believe, and it's not just wishful thinking. A lot of people say, well, you're just a positive person, and you're one of these persons that see the glass is half full when it's really half empty. And I'm okay with that. But here's one thing that I know. There are changes happening throughout this world. And at the heart of these changes will be Christians standing together. Christians standing up and practicing brotherly love, unconditional love, grace, kindness, and forgiveness. And it will be Christians coming from all walks of life. And it will be people that don't look like you and me, but we share one thing in common, and what is that? Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is that common bond that unites each one of us. That will change the world. That will revolutionize the world. And this great awakening that is coming, and this revival that is coming, will be led by Christians from all walks of life. Christians everywhere coming together. This is going to be fun this morning. Jessica didn't know she's going to be a retriever this morning.
It wouldn't be church without chasing.
There you go. It brings it back. But we want to practice what we preach. We want to be who we are and who we claim to be. So let me share with you from the Psalms. Yeah, don't worry about what order. We'll find it. We'll find it somewhere or another. Let me share with you this psalm from David. This is also one that I have favorite passages, and this is one that I found has been a source of a lot of help and comfort many, many times. So it's Psalm 51, verses 10 through 13. It goes like this. God, create a clean heart for me, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You see, that spirit, that love, has to come from deep within. You can't just talk about it. You can't just legislate it. Yeah, you can make people do some things, but you can't make people love people. That has to come from within. Yeah, come on through. That has to come from within. So God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me, and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. Then I will teach the rebellious your ways, and sinners will return to you. You see, it starts with getting our hearts right. It's not just our mind. It's not just our actions. It's what's in our heart. Jesus always told us that which defiles you is that which comes from what? Within you. What is in our hearts? Lord, create in us clean, pure hearts. And one way to do that, let me suggest something. Let's ask God to help each one of us to see this world and each other as God sees us. May we see with God's eyes. May we feel what God feels. May we allow God to let us see what His creation really is like, because we are all His children. May we see and feel and act as God acts. May we not be pretenders. And by the way, we are all hypocrites. Is anybody here not a hypocrite? Please raise your hand. Nobody's raising their hand, because we're all hypocrites. We've all fallen short. We've all been inconsistent. But may we strive to be the same in public as we are in private. May we reconcile those lives together. May we have a life that is filled with joy, that understands that peace which only God can give us. Can we draw closer to God and replace our reliance on ourselves with a reliance on God? Putting God first. That's how we begin to establish that clean heart. We begin there. We have the promise that God will renew our spirits. And then Paul reminds us of the importance of loving each other. And so let's turn now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Now I'm going to focus on the first two, but I want to give all of them, because it talks about also how we go about doing our daily business, so to speak. So listen to the words of Paul. About brotherly love, you don't need me to write you, because you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. In fact, you are doing this toward all the brothers and sisters in the entire region of Macedonia. So what do we notice about this church that was at Thessalonica? They loved each other, but they were spreading out in all walks of their lives. They were demonstrating that with others. And we as Christians, as a body of believers, we're spread out all over. May we connect with each other, and may we connect with people in our spheres of influence and share that same brotherly love. But we encourage you, brothers and sisters, to do this even more. And then to seek a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you, so that you may behave properly in the presence of outsiders and not dependent on anyone. You see, the heart of those verses is brotherly love. Brothers and sisters, we are to love one another. Now, there are many different types of love. And in the Greek culture, they understood many different types of love. And we've talked about some of this before. Eros, passion. We know what passion is. I don't have to tell you what it is. But passion is a form and one aspect of love. Agape is another. That's unconditional love, which we talk about God having, what we're advertising on the sign. Please look at that sign as you go out. Susan, you were working with how to get it just right. You got it just right. Everybody, you can see it. You can read the whole thing. And it talks about everything that we're talking about right now, today. Stergo, familial love, love of family. And then philos, which is brotherly love, love of brothers and sisters. Now, that's saying a lot, because let's be honest. Have we always been able to get along with our brothers and sisters? You know, we could do a whole thing just right there. I mean, you know, in fact, maybe I should have gone in that direction. But, you know, that says a whole lot. And it reminds us of the challenges that we're faced when we try to do and practice brotherly love. You see, we forget sometimes that we're part of God's family. We forget sometimes that we are to love all people. And sometimes it's hard to see someone else through God's eyes. And we have a hard time dealing with the fact that everybody's not perfect like we are, right? We're real perfect, aren't we? Yeah, I think we all know how to create messes, and we probably do a good job at it. But God asks us to practice His love. Now, I want to give you an example of something today that I think helps us realize the significance and the importance of brotherly love, and then also how sometimes things remain the same, and we continue to deal with a lot of the same issues year in and year out. And the importance of practicing brotherly love. Many of you know that in addition to having the opportunity to practice and to serve as one of your co-pastors here at Berea, that I'm an academician as well. And one of my areas of study, of course, is sociology, which is the study of society. And one of the figures that I've had an opportunity to delve a whole lot into in terms of looking at sociologists is a person that was not always recognized for the contributions that have been made to the study of society. And that person is W.E.B. Du Bois, and you've heard me talk about Du Bois before. But I've got a study, I want to mention just briefly a study that he did that reminds us of where we are and what we can do. The study I want to share with you was one that was conducted in 1899, was published in 1899. It was published in 1899, and the survey was conducted in 1896 and 1897. And it was a survey of Philadelphia's 7th Ward. This was an urban area with a large black population. And what he was looking at was the quality of life and the circumstances that persons were facing. And so he was looking at differences with respect to things like housing, educational opportunities, health care, crime, voting rights, income, and access to various different occupations. He was also dealing with the issues of inequality and prejudice and discrimination. That was Philadelphia, 1896 to 1899. If I turned on the news today, would it be much different when you turn it on? You hear a lot of the same what? Stories. But here's what I want you to hear. It's the conclusion of this study where Du Bois makes a point that is very direct and to the heart of the matter. And it reminds us There are just some things you can't legislate. There's some things that have to come from within. And they have to come from our hearts in terms of who we are. So let me share with you this quote. And think of it in the terms of brotherly love. Du Bois argued that civility, do we live in a world that we need to be more civil with each other? Yes, we do. Civility, opportunity, and rewarding success. We all want to have an opportunity to what? Succeed. We want everyone to have an opportunity for success. And he goes on to say, this will go much further in our own day toward making all people, and I'm quoting here, white and black, realize what the great founder of the city, he's talking about Philadelphia, meant when he named it. What's the name of Philadelphia? What does Philadelphia really mean? Does anybody know? It's the city of what? Brotherly love. Philos. The very thing we're talking about today. Brotherly love was needed 100 years ago, 120 years ago. It's needed when? Right now. Today. If we gain nothing else from this morning's opportunity to gather, the importance of practicing brotherly love. Because you know something? Unless I'm just stupid, I believe that civility is tied to what? Brotherly love. Think about it. May we love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ because we are God's children. So how can we be better equipped to practice brotherly love? I want to remind you of a couple of things. God accepts us where? Right where we are. Do we have to clean up to be able to approach God? No. In fact, we've probably been having trouble cleaning up, and that's why we want to approach God, because God takes us where we are. But does God leave us where he finds us? No, he doesn't. You see, God transforms us. God comes to us right where we are, but then he transforms us. And God knows that we are a work in progress. Have any of you gotten there yet? No, I haven't. We're works in progress. And God does not abandon us. He continues to sustain us. So I want to ask you a very important question. How much does God love you and me? How much does God love you and me? I'm going to try to make this as simple as I can. What am I doing? Does anybody know what this really is? It's infinity and it's the cross. That's how much God loves us. God loves us so much he gave what? His only son. That whoever believes in him will have what? Everlasting life. Be nice to turn on TV and see people doing this. Wouldn't it? Doing this. Think about this week. Think about those outstretched arms. God loves us this much. And that is why we practice brotherly love. That's why that's so critical for us. That's why we do it. Now, how long are we to do this? That's where the eternity part comes in. And in the short term, we do it until Jesus what? Comes again. Hence, that's where we're going next week. In addition to celebrating the birthday of our country and the independence that we have in Christ, we have the promise that Christ is coming again. But in preparation for that, we have work to do. We can't be idle. We have work to do. And that is to practice brotherly kindness and brotherly love. So, what are some of the things that we need to remember? What are some things that will help us do exactly this? Let me suggest just a few things. Let me give some scripture verses. Take note of these. And it'll be on the podcast, so you can go back and catch everything. Romans 12, 1 through 2. We are in the world, but we are not what? Of this world. And our minds and our hearts are being what? Transformed. So here's the thing we want to remember. Brotherly love transforms the heart. God has not taken us out of the world. He has put us, what? In the world. But does that mean that we have to identify with everything in the world? No. Our job is to demonstrate this. This is what we're here for. So be transformed. Second, we are not a walled fortress. We are not a silo. We are not to keep this to ourselves. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reminds us of something. We have a light. And what are we to do with that light that we have? We're to shine it. And we don't put it in a closet. It's like standing it on a pedestal on the top of a hill so that what? Everybody can see it. Have you ever thought about brotherly love being light, which is shining? See, if we go there, we can light up this world. We can make a difference. We can get at the heart of what really, really matters in this world. The third thing. We have a mission. We have a purpose. This book is full of promises. God does not break his promises. We may break our promises with each other. God doesn't break the promises that are here. And if God has promised that Jesus will return, then what will Jesus do? Exactly that. Exactly that. So, in that midst, in that in-between time, may we share the gospel. May we worship and fellowship together. May we minister to each other's needs and those that we know about and those that God places in our midst. And may we serve as mentors as we become ambassadors of brotherly love. You see, as we get to a closing point, many of you are fans of C.S. Lewis and you have read some of his writings. C.S. Lewis was a person who came to belief in Christ later in life. And C.S. Lewis reminds us that as Christians, it's important that we get along with each other and that we continually mold each other and shape each other. And then I'm going to ask you a question. Now, I play trombone. Phil plays so far, that little ram's horn that you may have heard. Jessica plays flute. Carol plays piano. Some of you play bells. Some of you play instruments. I just don't know it, but you do play it. I got good news for you. We're all part of God's band. We just need to know what instrument it is that He wants us to play. Because think of that instrument as the way that God has gifted each one of us. The way that God has gifted you is your instrument. And we're in God's band. And it's something very, very important to know when you're in God's band. Now, when people are first learning how to play an instrument, they don't do well. It sounds like noise, doesn't it? And one of the things that was so interesting to me about music is this. You know, Ted Williams, what is it? He was one of the last persons that had over a 400 batting average, right? 400 batting average is unbelievable. That means you're getting on base or hitting the ball. You're getting on base 4 times out of 10. What would happen on Sunday morning if we were to be singing and Jessica was leading and Carol was playing and she only hit the notes right 4 out of 10 times? And we only hit the notes right 4 out of 10 times. Now, in baseball, that'd be a great average. But in music, would that work? It would confirm Psalm 150, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's what it would do. And we do want to make a joyful noise into the world. But here's the point that I'm getting at. And this is the point that C.S. Lewis was getting at. We are all part of God's band. We all play different instruments. But it's important that we don't forget one important detail. May we always be aware of the tune that God is wanting us to play. In other words, may we be on the same what? Page. May we be aware of the tune that God is asking us to play. I'd like to suggest to you that one of the songs in God's repertoire is Brotherly Love. Brotherly Love. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Brotherly love. May we love each other. So you see, we do have some work to do. Now, whether you're here today or if you're listening by the podcast, always know that we can accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior when? Anytime, anywhere. We can rededicate and recommit our life when? Anytime, anywhere. Our doors are open. May our hearts be open, and may we practice what? This love. Don't get this image out of your mind. How much does God love you? Maybe this will be a good children's story. You've heard children say, how much do I love you? I love you this much. God loves us this much. And so I want to close today as we get prepared to listen to the final music. I want to close with a very, very familiar verse. And I've gotten through the years that I look at these two verses together. And it's based on perhaps the most famous of all verses. If I had to say the number one verse that probably anyone that has any familiarity at all with Christianity would know, what would it be? John 3, 16. Let me encourage you, the next time you're thinking about John 3:16, also add verse 17 to it. Because that following verse puts it into even more context. And I want to close by reading this. And then I want you to think about something, all of us. When does eternal life begin? And this isn't a trick question, and I'm not trying to get into a big theological debate. Eternal life begins the moment you accept what? Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We are experiencing eternal life now as well as later. Let that really sink in. Because if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, all the promises that are contained here are whose? They're ours. Wouldn't you like to share that with persons that you really care about? I would. Let's share that. So let's hear these words as our benediction today. For God loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son, this is that second part. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it through Him. Jesus did not come to condemn. He came to save. We are not here on this earth to condemn. We are here to share what? The gospel. And it's the gospel that what? Saves. I don't save anyone. You don't save anyone. But we do introduce them to what? The gospel. And we allow God to do God's work. And with that, all God's people did say what? Amen. Phil?
Trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? still a refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.